Tonight, session three of our new life in Christ. In this foundational class series in which we are discovering biblical keys and truths to understand the scriptures, the Bible, we want to continue tonight by looking at page three of your syllabus. And as you can see there, we will be handling number one, how to receive anything from God. Number two, the law of believing, and number three, receive, retain, release. This has been a wonderful experience to review for many of us, and for some of you, the very first time that you've been exposed to a lot of this information. And boy, what a joy and privilege it is to be able to handle some of these great truths from the Word of God. So let's get into it. First of all, I want to be able to ask three questions under this category of how to receive anything from God. And the first question I'd like to ask is, what is available? And how true is that in anything we do in life? That if we want to do something or go somewhere or receive something, we have to know what's available. If we go to the grocery store, we walk down the aisles, we see more of what is available, right? And so we have to understand in our context, what is available to us? You know, someone once said there are over 900 promises in the Word of God. And so the question then begs to be asked, how many of them do we know? And one of the things that I wanted to kind of subtitle this, what is available, is who is God? I would think that that would be a pretty foundational question for many people. Who is God? Because our knowledge of God is going to be a prerequisite to understanding what is available to us from God. So we have to believe there is a God, first and foremost, and then understand a little bit more about his character. Now, we won't be looking at the verses that describe the nature and quality and characteristics of who God is. You can look at those later. I'm just going to give you a couple of things that the Bible talks about who God is. It says that God is light. That's in 1 John. God is love. And God is loving. God is faithful. And God is a giver. Maybe you're familiar with that verse in John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, please. We're going to look at some of the things that are available that God gives. And this is a perfect place to start, I think, because we are asking the question, what is available? Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's one great thing that's available to us. That's wisdom. And wisdom is not a negative thing. Wisdom is a very good thing. And it says that's one of the things that that God does give. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. It says that God would have all men, it says in King James, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God not only gives wisdom, he gives eternal life. He has a great desire for that man would be saved, or as we will find out, to be made whole, and also to come unto a knowledge of the truth. Look at Psalm 34:4. These are such great topics. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. God gives us the ability to be free from fear. I didn't have Jeffrey put up the slide, but you know, there's a great verse in Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." How does that sound? That we could have a life that is fearless, free from fear, and to have a sound mind. So God gives wisdom. God gives eternal life and salvation. God gives us the ability to have freedom from fear. And in John 17:26, another great verse. "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Wisdom, eternal life and salvation, freedom from fear. Now here Jesus is declaring, "I have declared unto them thy name, and I'll declare it, that the love wherewith you've loved me, God, may be in them, and I in them." I'll never forget a statement that was once made. God loves you as much as he loved the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are the only man, the only woman, the only child on this earth, God's love would be all about you. What a beautiful reality. What a wonderful thing to know that is available for us in a world that is just so hungry to receive and to be acknowledged and to be accepted and to be held and hope, that for there to be hope. John 14:27, another great thing Jesus said. And Jesus said this right in the context of him being taken to be crucified. These were in the last days of his life. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be," what? "Afraid." Peace. Oh my gosh, that state of undisturbed tranquility. Not peace like the world is offering, you know, peace and love and all that. We don't get peace from smoking marijuana and doing a lot of other things that maybe the world will promote as these are the things that will bring you inner peace. No, this is a peace that's supernatural. It's above and beyond human understanding. It's something that God gives. It's just so awesome. Look at John 15:11. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be" what? "Full." Not just a halfway house, but we would be full, full to overflowing. It would just be pouring out of us. You know, there's another great verse in Psalms that says, "In that presence is fullness of joy." This is what we're talking about in these class sessions, is the purposes of the Word of God is to introduce us to the heart of God so that we will be drawn into a closer and more personal and an intimate relationship with Him. That's why it's so awesome just to look at these scripture verses. We don't have time, obviously, to cover 900 promises. But how many can we cover? How many do you know? How many do I know? Because the more I know, then the more applicable they can become in life's different situations and circumstances. So number two, good to know what is available. And then how do we receive it? And I've kind of subtitled that, how can I get to know him? You know, it's God's will, his desire that we do know him. We can talk to God, and God can talk to us. One of the greatest ways to be able to get to know God is just start having a conversation with him. "Father, I may not know a lot of things about you or the Word or whatever, but I do know that I have a hunger to know you and to understand more of your love, your care." It's like that. It's that simple. God is, his desire is that we would know him. So how can I get to know him? Well, that's what we're kind of unfolding here, because we're looking at the promises of his word. But part of the answer to that question is engaging in a conversation with God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, but let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth in this, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me." A lot of these King James words, understandeth, knoweth, glorieth. "That I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Not an uncommon thing. You know, people may pray for abundance, and then once they get it, they might forget the source of where it came from. God wants us to have that balance and to have that recognition of who is the source of supply. Who is bringing goodness? Who is bringing abundance? Who is bringing prosperity? Who is bringing health? Who is bringing peace? Who is bringing goodness? Who is bringing love? This is our Father. This is God. This is who He is. John 17, verse 11. John 17:11. "Now," Jesus saying, "and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." In this verse, Jesus is entrusting our lives, the lives of those he was teaching and preaching to at that moment, as well as future generations, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is entrusting us to God's care. And what a prayer it is. And do you think God answered the prayers of Jesus? Absolutely. 100%. No doubt about it. And this is a great record of Jesus, his prayer for the current times then and for future generations. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Again, kind of reiterating this whole concept that God wants us to know him. How do we receive? "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him." This is what God desires, that our hearts, our lives would be enlightened with, and that he would give us, another translation says, spiritual wisdom and revelation knowledge. Look, God wants to reveal himself, and he does that in a variety of ways. He does that through the written scriptures, which we're learning about in these teachings in the foundation. He also revealed himself in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And he's revealing himself today through the acts and the works of the Holy Spirit that now each person who's born again has access to. And God reveals himself as he talks, walks and talks with his people today. So these are all so just great truths. All right, let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5. So blessed to have these slides available. They're such a blessing. James 1:5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all men liberally. He upbraideth not. He doesn't hold back. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord." God wants us to have wisdom. He wants us also to have confidence and trust in him and the things of his word. You know how confident, you know how trust is built? One step at a time. The more we trust God, the more we walk out believingly upon the promises of His Word and see the corresponding benefit, then the more our confidence grows and builds to trust God more and more and more and more. You know, Jesus was the most God-dependent man that ever was born and walked upon the face of this earth. And thank God for that, because if it had been up to me, we probably would have had a little different outcome. But Jesus, He did it right. He followed and obeyed perfectly. Now we don't have to kind of martyr ourselves to prove how worthy and good we are. We just have to accept what Jesus has already accomplished on our behalf. That's why many times we say, "You've already got it. You've already got it. You've already got it." There's nothing more to get. So if you lack wisdom, ask God. He's going to give it to men liberally. He's not holding back, and it shall be given him. How about that for a promise of the word? Anybody need wisdom out there? Boy, that's kind of a rhetorical question, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. We'll be getting into that topic of faith and believing here in just a moment. But I think it's just good to realize that it says here, but the word preached did not profit them. That means that when the word of God is preached and believed with faith, that there is great profit. See, so you have to kind of look and sometimes see what is it not saying. But here it's saying, it didn't profit them not being mixed with faith. Well, that's not what we're looking for here. We want the profit of hearing the word, believing the word, walking forward, and experiencing and enjoying that great profit. Here's another one, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Remember, we're in this sub kind of a subcategory here of how do we receive it? How do I get to know Him? How can I appropriate these promises of the written scriptures, the written word of God, so they become evidence, not just words on a page, but literal realities of a supernatural manifestation of the Almighty God bringing heaven to earth? Man, does that sound dynamic? Does that sound like more abundant living? This is exactly the example that Jesus manifested and showed. No wonder He upset the culture. No wonder people were astonished with His life. He rocked the boat, guys. Amazing. Look at Mark 24. He said, therefore, Jesus talking, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. There's no question mark at the end of that sentence. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. Now look, there's a context to this. I'm not saying after the class you pray for a Rolls Royce or that $1 million shows up in your bank account. There's a little bit more to this, okay? We're looking at this from not a materialistic point of view. So in the context of spiritual matters, whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive them, you shall have them. Wonderful. And finally, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? God's got great power. God's got great ability. God created the heavens and earth. He gave us the breath that we're breathing right now at this very second. He's got a great eternal hope built up for us at the return of Jesus Christ. God has got exceeding great power. And He says now, what is the exceeding great power to us who believe? To us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So that is a good lead in to number three here, what to do with it. And so the question is then, what do I have to do now? Okay, Barney, I know what's available. I know how to receive it. Now what am I supposed to do? What do I do with it now? Well, great question. And here's the simple answer. You make a choice. You and I can choose to put into application what we have received. And we do this by accepting his word as true and allowing him to teach us. I love this next verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Most of us can probably say it from memory, but we'll look at it and read it together. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is that power that works in us? It's God that's at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is impossible for God? Nothing. Like I said, God created this world that we live in. God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. And he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or even think, according to the power that works within us. And you know what? As we have all experienced in life, our beliefs in certain things or people have become contingent on the trust we have placed in them. And that is still going to be true about the things of God. See? Amazing. And we have seen the success or failure of those beliefs as time went on. So here's going to be a simple definition of faith or believing that I think is going to help you. And it was a good reminder for me to understand how to make the things of God a reality in your everyday life. Okay? Trust and confidence in someone or something to the point that actions are taken. Spiritually speaking, it is continually recognizing that God and his word can be trusted and that we can have confidence that God is always good and in all ways good. I know that's quite a mouthful there. Basically, it's having trust and confidence that what God has said and what God has been saying, we can have confidence in that he will display his goodness in our lives to a point of overflowing. And I didn't give Jeffrey this verse, but I'm going to read it here. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. This is a classic of classics. In the King James Version, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God has our best interest in mind. How cool. How amazing. And if we can learn to transition these same concepts like the beliefs that have affected our day-to-day life into our relationship with God and his written word, you know what? We can flourish, we can prosper, and we can live a life that is truly more abundant. So how do we build confidence and trust in God? Well, first of all, by hearing the word of God. And secondly, reading the word of God and then practicing what we have heard and read. Although all of us have been groomed in a world that promotes seeing is believing, the lifestyle of trusting the promises of God, walking with him, will challenge us for sure to believe and then see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? not seen. Faith is the things, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember what I was saying about seeing is believing, or is it believing then seeing? I wanted to read a couple of other verses here. The Amplified Version of the Bible says, now faith is the assurance or the title deed or confirmation of things hoped for or divinely guaranteed, and it's the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Wow. We're kind of talking about a whole different lifestyle, a whole different way of living here, because we are so groomed to seeing something and then we believe it. Now we're talking about transitioning into a new way of living life and approaching the scriptures and evidencing the goodness of God in a practical way. What's he called? Believing, then seeing. The contemporary English version says, faith makes us sure of what we hope for and gives us proof of what we cannot see. This is an incredible foundational understanding. This is great intermediate understanding. This is great advanced understanding, if you want. It's just great understanding to get beyond the point of having to physically see and then believe, but to believe and then see. The Aramaic Peshitta New Testament translation says, now faith is the persuasion concerning those things that are in hope, as if they had in fact happened, and the evidence of those things that are not seen. One of the greatest examples that I can think of is a seed packet. You've seen seed packets, right? Little kind of square, rectangular things that have all these little tiny seeds in it. If we dumped all those seeds out on the table, you wouldn't know what would come out of those seeds any more than the man in the moon. There is something, however, that will give you a little indication of what those seeds are going to develop into. You know what that is? It's the picture that you see on the front of that particular seed packet. That's the only way you know what's going to come out of the ground when those seeds are planted. It's the picture you see on the front cover. Now, in a very similar way, as we claim the promise of God in regard to whatever is needed, God will work with us to not only build a complete picture of the promise, but also in seeing it fulfilled. The pressure is not on us to have to strive and push and grind to see the promise of God come to pass. Remember, God wants us to know him. He wants us to work with him. He wants us to be successful in believing and then seeing. So as his child, let's say we take a promise of the scripture regarding health, okay? So we meditate upon it, we think about it, we confess it, and we pray and we ask God. And you know what? God will work with us and work within us to help us achieve a sustainable, let's just use this word in context, a sustainable vision or a picture to help us stay encouraged until that promise becomes a reality. It's just like the seed packet. You plant the seed. You know what? It's in the ground. You don't know what's going on, but there's a process of growth. There's a process of germination. There's a process of expansion. And all of a sudden, one day, a little sprout pops up from the ground. Do you know what it is? Does it look like the picture of the packet? No. But as we remain patient, as we remain faithful, as we do what's needed, necessary, eventually What will evidence itself is the same thing that's on the picture of that seed packet. One of the great dynamics of Christian faith and living is this principle, which we have called the law of believing. How about the grace of believing? The goodness of believing? The greatness of believing? Whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter what you call it. The truth is, you want to be able to be successful in applying it so that we can actually see the benefit of having this wonderful relationship with Almighty God. And so we've covered here quite a bit. And I apologize, you know, maybe we don't cover these things as well as we can, but boy, how to receive anything from God, what is available, how to receive it, what to do with it. And then we get into this thing about the grace, the law of believing, and just how beautiful and how wonderful it truly is. So at this point, we're going to take a brief, short stretch break, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes. I think we're just going to do, you know, 2-3 minutes, and then, you know, you can get up and have some coffee or whatever you need to do, and then we will get back together here real quick. All right? God bless. Okay. Well, this final sharing tonight is on a topic listed on your syllabus page there, of course, receive, retain, release. And I've, I guess, cutely called it God's three-step plan. I'm kind of taken off from Jeannie Linfeld. She did a thing about the two-step. But this is God's three-step plan, and it is so foundational. You know, as we live our lives, there are wonderful examples of this concept of receiving, retaining, releasing. And they're kind of what I would call life cycles. So think about gardening or farming. You plant, you cultivate, you harvest. Like a baby, what does a baby do? The baby learns to sit, then the baby learns to stand, then the baby learns to walk. And how about just the life cycle in general? Birth, lifespan, and then death. And of course, one that we're all very familiar with day to day to day. You eat, you digest and assimilate, and then you eliminate, right? Well, not surprisingly, God's word, the Bible, gives us God's three-step plan or cycle for virtuous Christian living, which has commonly been referred to in Christian circles as receive, retain, and release. And so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Some of these verses sections will maybe go a little longer than, you know, what we had room on the charts to put on, but you'll get the thrust of it for sure. But this is a great one, because the first one, number one, is to receive. And in verse Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1 says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding," keep reading in your Bible, "yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Did you happen to notice in verse 1 how it was contingent upon receiving the word? "My son, if you'll receive my words, hide my command." That is going to be a prerequisite to be able to really receive this word of God into our lives. And that's exactly what we're doing in this foundational class teaching series, is we're reading the word. We're receiving voluminous amounts of God's word, which is really a beautiful thing, because in Psalm 119:130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, It gives understanding unto what? The simple. The entrance of the word. The entrance of the word just it just blows all the darkness, all the negative, all the junk out of my mind and out of my heart. It just brings light. And it brings understanding unto the simple. And when that word simple is mentioned, my hand just kind of automatically wants to go up in the air, you know, like, hey, that's what I want. I want to be simple. Not simple-minded necessarily, but just simple. And man, a great way to be able to do that is to just get a lot of the word in there, a lot of the light of the word. And let's look at James chapter 1, verse 21. So this first principle, and this one's got some interesting words in it, which we won't really have the time to go into, but look it up in another translation sometime. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Wow. Now, those are some $10 words there. And here's the point. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So in this first category, we're going to say, and I've written this in your syllabus page, to receive with meekness this word of God by preparing your heart with simplicity. Preparing your heart. How do you do that? Well, maybe you got to get into a quiet place. Maybe you got to get into what we may sometimes call the secret place. You get alone. You get quiet. You find an environment that's conducive to the things of God. And that would be a great environment to hear from God. See? Asking simple questions. Father, are you here? Father, do you love me? Father, is that you speaking to me? You have to ask questions. So we receive with meekness. You know what meekness is? Coachability. It's having the desire to be taught and not to pridefully push back. It's a willingness to receive instruction and to not be resistant to it. That's just the pride of man. And that's not good. Like, hey, no one knows better than I do about how something should be done. That's not the way we want to operate and function in the Christian world, in our lives. So we want to be ourselves to receive with meekness. And we do that by preparing our heart with simplicity. And then number two, we want to retain with conviction. We want to hold on to the scripture. We want to put it in our hearts. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. These scriptures over the years for many of us have just been diamonds because we have read these, we have heard these, we have loved these, we have grown close to these, these have ministered to us. Jeremiah 15, 16. You know, I don't know exactly how many thousands of years Jeremiah lived, but you know what? Our hearts are united in his heart cry for the word of God and for his desire to be in alignment with God, to know God, to be a part of God. And he says, thy words were found, and I did what? I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You want to have a good meal, a good meal spiritually? Get into the word. Allow this word to fill you and to satisfy you. Like what Jeremiah is proposing here. Your words were found, and I just gobbled them up. I just ate them. And it was so beautiful. They were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Boy, how'd you like to say that? And we can. How about Psalm 119:11? to retain that word of God with conviction, with tenacity, with perseverance, with a championship attitude, realizing, like I said earlier, God is good. He's good always, and he's good in always. That never changes. God's love is unconditional. He doesn't love like man says, like man does. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that when Samuel was picking out David to be king, God does not see as man sees, because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at what? The heart. God looks at the heart. He knows who you are. He knows you better than you know you. That's probably a darn good thing. But this beautiful verse here, Psalm 119:11, thy word have I what? I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, sin is nothing more than independence from God. It's going your own way, making your own choices, doing what you want to do rather than what you know. Probably the directive of the word is in that situation. But some of the greatest things that happen, we were just talking about this last night, is that we just go out on our own and we don't even ask God or talk to God in a decision-making process. That's why we want to hide this word in our heart, so that we have a sensitivity to God. And our first response is to go to God. God, what do you think about this? What's your perspective? What's your wisdom in this situation? Because you know what? We don't have it all figured out. We may think we're pretty smart at times, but you know what? We don't have it all figured out. God is a lot smarter than we are. And he says, hide the word in your heart. Well, how do you do that? How do you hide the word in your heart? Well, I'll tell you a little story about how I did it, because I didn't really, I guess, know how to do it, so I just figured, you know, I'm going to take some 3x5 cards, and I'm going to write these verses out, and I'm going to write them out, and I'm going to write them out, and I'm going to write them out. I guess that's like the little disobedient kid who talks too much in the classroom, right? I will not talk in class. I will not talk in class. No. I did the same thing, though, because repetition allows you to get it into your heart that you have something that you really have retained. So many scriptures are like that. So many scriptures. That's what it is about hiding it in your heart, meditating upon it, memorizing it, re-memorizing it, ruminating on it, thinking about it. Good thing to hide in your heart, right? The word, the word, the word. And nothing but the word. Colossians 3:16. Here we go. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. You know, that's another way of saying, let the word of Christ live in you. You know where you live? That's your dwelling place. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. All these other beautiful things, and all wisdom, teaching, admonishing, singing song, giving praise, worship, all this. Those are all side benefits and other things that come as a result of that word of God that's living and real. A great man once said, when the word of God becomes living and real to an individual, revival. Revival. And that's what we all need in our own personal lives. And that's what this world is crying for. To the need to be revived and refreshed. Well, how will that happen? The word, the word, the word, and nothing but the word. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Psalm 138:2 says, God magnified his word above all his name. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a great living word. Amen. And finally, we receive this word of God with meekness by preparing our hearts, the good soil of our hearts, and do it with simplicity. And then we hold on to the word with conviction. We hide it deep within us. And you know what's cool about that? When you need it, it'll be there. And finally, we learn to speak out. We learn to release by speaking these words that have been within us. We hide it in our hearts. We think about it. We retain it. We hold on to it. We cultivate it and whatever. And then you know what? Kind of like the farmer. Harvest time. Harvest time. I mean, planting, cultivating, harvesting. Okay, you want to use those words? Forget receive, retain, release. Let's call planting, cultivating, and harvesting. It's the same truth. We learn to release with boldness. And boldness has kind of gotten a bad rap because we think it's like breathing fire down people's throats and just we're going to get bold. And maybe that's part of it. But I'll tell you another definition of boldness I've always enjoyed and always retained is that saying the right thing at the right time. That is what boldness really is. Yeah, you can say it however you want to say it. Sometimes it does need to be said a little bit more forcefully. Do you know what? It's always a good thing to say the right thing at the right time. Because how many of us have said the right thing at the wrong time? Or the wrong thing at the wrong time? That's not where we're at. That's not where we're going. That's not the life we want to live. We want to speak these words of life to ourselves and to others because they are the words of life. Isaiah chapter 55. Beautiful. I guess I say that about every verse of Scripture. They're all wonderful. They're all beautiful. They're all my favorites. How do you pick out your most favorite? Well, this is a good one. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Well, this is what God says about, this is the testimony of God about his own word. He said, my word's going to go out of my mouth. It's not going to return void. You know what? When you say the word of God, to yourself, or to others, or to circumstances, or to situations. It's God himself is saying it. Because these are not your words. These are the words of God. And as a man or a woman or a child of God, you are saying what God has already said. And it is truth. And it says, it shall not return void. Now, there's a promise you can take another one to the bank. And it's going to prosper. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The word of God, it's a living word. Hebrews 4:12, right? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper. Wow. This is a living word. This is a life-giving word. This is a dynamic word. This is a powerful word. These words are spirit, and they are life, Jesus said. Ephesians 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. This is another great exhortation. Says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. What a great reality of being able to speak the truth, and then it says, two little words, in love. Oh yeah, we can speak the truth sometimes, but if it's not really done in love, then according to 1 Corinthians 13, there's not a lot of profit in it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it profits me what? Nothing. I become a sounding brass. Hey, the true heart of the scripture from Genesis to Revelation is this love story. It's the love story of God's children going through this turmoil, and then whatever it took for God to get all the right variables in place so that he could send a child of his love, and that Jesus could walk in love during the course of his life and ministry and give his life in love, and then send the Holy Spirit in love. And then, oh my gosh, this is the greatest love story of all time. How could it not be so beautiful? And so here we are with the privilege of being able to live in this day and time, having the privilege and the joy to speak the truth in love. Doesn't say we have to guarantee what it does. That's God's job. But we let God do his job, and we just live our lives with ease and grace, claiming the promises with simple believing. Yeah. And there's a great verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. That'll be our closing verse for the night. Philippians 2, 16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth the word of life. There's different translations of this particular scripture, but the reality is we got nothing better to talk about. We got nothing better to say to ourselves and to others, because God has put us in such a awesome position as his sons and daughters that now we become representatives in this world of the goodness of God. So tonight, in summary, we've looked at and attempted to learn more about how to receive anything from God, and correspondingly the law of believing, and finally we just looked at this cycle of life for dynamic Christian living. And so with these truths in mind, we now move forward to sessions 4 and 5 on Sunday for even greater insight as to how to understand God's word and how our relationship with Almighty God can be lived and enjoyed. God bless you. Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege is to know you as our Father, and may the blessing of the spoken word here tonight go deeply into the hearts of your people, Father, and may all of our lives be transformed as we just lay it all down and realize the work has already been done. And we thank you, God, for your kindness, your goodness, and your watchful care over us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.